paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around with me. Just to be a short time, about 30 minutes, some motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no manipulation. No con games, not asking for money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We just want you to listen as I teach the Word of God, hopefully, so I can verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're interested, as always, you can orient and adjust to the plan. Before I get started today, let me announce something. We've done a significant revision of our book, Christian Problem Solving. A tremendous revision we've gone through. Hard work. Our staff has done this. I think you'll find it a great resource. There's a detailed chapter for every problem-solving device along with the supporting scripture. And this new book should be available in early June, so please contact us if you want it. We'll be sure to put your name on the list and send it to you when it's ready. We're also printing a revision of our book, A Divine Pardon, which was written for those who are incarcerated and their loved ones. So let us know if you want this book. We'll send it to you in June. Several more books in the works, so stay tuned. Thank you for listening. If you need to contact us, you can always go through the website, rickhughesministries.org, or call us at 831-0718, 800-831-0718. Last week, now buckle your seatbelt here because I want to get serious for a minute. Last week on this show, I insisted that you value those 10 problem-solving devices that we teach on the Flatline as priority number one in your life. And the reason is because these 10 problem-solving devices refer to the main line of resistance in your soul's mentality. And the mentality of your soul is where the battle for control of your life takes place. I emphasized last week that the spiritual life and the physical life are separated. The physical life is what other people may see, but the spiritual life is what God observes. And I emphasize the importance of these 10 problem-solving devices we call the Flatline because they encapsulate the Christian life in whole. It's exactly what the Christian life is, these 10 unique problem-solving devices. Our Heavenly Father provided everything you need to have a wonderful life on this earth once you come into His family. Of course, by faith in His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that if you learn and execute His provisions, you can be free of mental anxiety such as worry, fear, bitterness, jealousy, and other self-induced sins by changing the way you think, of course, by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit and using the faith rest drill. Romans 12, 2-3 talks about changing how you think. Listen, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, changing the way you think. So that, in order that, you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, that's arrogance, but to think soberly, that's humility, as God has dealt to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. So changing the way you think is you renovating your thoughts to divine viewpoint. No longer being under the influence of human viewpoint. And this is called having the mindset of our Lord, who actually maneuvered through the devil's world as a human, overcoming whatever Satan threw at him by using Scripture as the source of his strength and his encouragement. Do you remember Matthew 4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil? Matthew 4, 1-11, I won't read it all, but let me remind you, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter came and said, look, if you're the Son of God, why don't you command these stones to become bread and you could feed yourself? Well, he answered these words, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Two other times Satan tempted him, and twice again the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is written. It is written. So, once Jesus said the word, Satan left him alone and moved away from him for a while. This passage in Matthew 4, 1-11, read it in your Bible, and you'll see where he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. This is a perfect example of our Lord using what you can use called the faith rest drill. It's also recognition on his part that he had a personal sense of destiny. And the personal sense of destiny is what we call problem-solving device number 6. You must have this. You must recognize this in your life. The same recognition is critical for you to understand if you ever hope to fulfill God's plan for your life. I mean, come on now, you're here for a reason, and the sooner you understand why you're here, the better equipped you will be to fulfill your destiny. So that's what you have to understand. The protocol plan of God for the church is the greatest demonstration in all the history of the function of the volition of the believer in relationship to God's power. You have a personal sense of destiny. And one of the great principles of having a personal sense of destiny is that you finally learn to take responsibility for your own decisions, the good ones, and obviously the bad ones. There are some key thoughts in regard to your personal sense of destiny. Listen, these are some of the key thoughts to problem-solving device number 6. 1, for the believer, a personal sense of destiny is related to recognition of the plan and the power of God in his life. 2, a personal sense of destiny requires understanding the biblical pertinent information to the protocol plan of God for the church. That means you have to understand how to be filled with the Spirit. You have to understand rebound. You have to understand faith rest drill. If you're ever going to understand your personal sense of destiny, you must know those basic doctrines. Why? Because 3, the life beyond expectations that we want you to have is the awareness of the power and the grace of God combined along with the spiritual skills to form that personal sense of destiny. So once you begin to leave your agenda behind, once you walk through the door of confident expectation, let me say that word again, confident expectation, you will then find a new world of opportunity and a new world of reward, and that's finding your personal sense of destiny. One key to understanding your own personal sense of destiny is recognizing your very own spiritual gift. God gave you a spiritual gift. It was imparted to you the moment you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like me, God may have given you a communication gift. The Bible says some communicators are pastor teachers and some are evangelists. Others have the gift of helps, and some have the gift of administration. Some have the gift of giving, and that actually is the way we live sometimes because people give to our ministry and support us. Whatever your spiritual gift is, it will function, actually, even if you don't know it, but it will function. But the sooner you learn what it is, the sooner you can prepare to use it. So for the gift that you have to be effective, you must understand what it is and how it operates strictly by means of the power of the Holy Spirit. Understanding your spiritual gift, think about it. What is your spiritual gift? Do you even know it? You should. Understanding your gift, understanding how to use your gift, is the first great objective of any spiritual life. Understanding your gift and using it effectively is the door to being a spiritually mature adult Christian. God's grace provisions are provided every day for you and me so that we can obtain that objective, grow up. When I first started in the ministry, I had a friend that served with me, and we had our gifts backwards. We were confused. We didn't have enough information to know the difference. But we could see what God was doing, and one of us was speaking here and the other doing here, and I got up to speak, and I'd see this. He got up to speak, and he'd see that. And eventually, we realized we were seeing different things and being used in different ways, and we realized we had our gifts backwards. I had the gift of evangelism, and he had the gift of pastor-teacher, and we didn't recognize it for about a year. It took us a while to grow up and to understand it. God keeps us alive. God protects us with a wall of fire so we may have equal privilege and equal opportunity to attain that personal sense of destiny he has for you. He has it for you. He has something he wants you to do. He left you here for a reason. You're not supposed to just float around town. God left you for a reason, and that is to fulfill your spiritual gift, to grow up to spiritual maturity, and to glorify him to the maximum. Now, number 7 in the problem-solving devices is what we call personal love for God. You cannot live the Christian life without understanding this. personal love for God. 1 John 5:3. I know you're telling me I love God. I hear people tell me that all the time. I love God. Do you really? Oh, yes, I love God. If I stood up in a church and I said, all you people that are in the congregation, if you love God, raise your hand up in the air. And they'd all put their hand up. 1 John 5:3 tells you whether or not you love God. You want to hear it? Here it is. If you love me, if you love me, you will obey me. This is called motivational virtue. In other words, what motivates you to be obedient to the Christian way of life? It's your love for God. In 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he possibly love God whom he has not seen? So here's the first problem. You say you love God. Yep, I love God. You do. Yeah, I love God. Do you hate your brother? Is there anyone in church you hate? Is there anyone in your family you hate? Is there any race you hate? Any politician you hate? If you hate, you don't love God. Again, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. You cannot love a God you don't understand. That's the problem. Listen to Jeremiah 9:24. Let him who glorifies glory in this, that he understands and knows me. God wants you to know him, and the only way you can know him is to understand him. What do you understand about God? The God you say you love. Do you understand the essence of God? You want to grow up to be a mature believer. This is stuff you have to know. Do you know the essence of God, or do you think it just sits in a throne? He's got a white beard and a crown, and he sits on a throne. Is that what you think about God? If you don't understand the essence of God, you can't love God. Here's something you have to understand. Write it down. Our Father is love. He is love. He doesn't fall in love. He is love. And he is righteousness. We don't have that kind of righteousness. We have self-righteousness. And God is perfect righteousness. God is perfect justice. And the justice of God is what we call the guardian of his righteousness. So whatever the righteousness of God rejects, then the justice of God would judge. So if someone says, I'm not supposed to go to heaven because I'm a good person, and the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not one, if the righteousness of God rejects that person, the justice of God judges him in the lake of fire forever. God is perfectly righteous. God is eternal life. God is veracity. He means he doesn't lie. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is omnipresent. He's always with us, wherever you may be. And he is absolute sovereignty. He's the only King of Kings, the only Lord of Lords. Is it possible you claim to love God, but you don't really know the God you love? Perhaps you love what you think God is, but only as long as it fits your agenda. Write it down again now. You may need to get a text of this to see this. God is love. He doesn't fall in love. He is love. He's righteousness. He's justice. He's what? He's righteousness and justice. He's eternal life. He's veracity. He's omniscience. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's sovereign. And I think probably just as a side note, he has a sense of humor. You don't think so? Look in the mirror. Made you, didn't he? Yeah, that's right. God must have a sense of humor. So, God's love is amazing. It's unfailing. And by you ignoring his plan for your life, you demonstrate you don't love God. You demonstrate you love your plan more than his plan. So you've heard it. You've heard it from me. You've heard it from your own pastor. And yet you go on down the road doing what you want to do. You don't spend any time trying to go closer to God. You go maybe once a year you go forward and rededicate your life. Save your breath. Once a year you promise you're going to be a good boy. Save your breath. Unless you can find time in your life to study and grow on a daily basis, you don't love God. You want to go get God to give you favor, sure. But if you love God, you would seek to know God and serve God. Another problem-solving device is impersonal love. Impersonal love. That's a wonderful problem-solving device you must use and must understand if you're going to live the Christian life. Understanding this divine provision and using it will stop you from ever getting mad at anybody. Just think, no more road rage on your part, no more bitterness on your part, no more revenge motivation on your part, no more jealousy, no more feeling disrespected. I mean, is it possible to actually be around family members at family functions and no longer get mad when they seek to put you down? Or they try to manipulate you so others can gain control of the finances or the property? Yes, you can. You can tolerate others and hold no grudges when you're insulted, when you're treated unfairly, when you're ridiculed. You have the tremendous problem-solving devices of the Word of God. And you have to have the spiritual strength to use these problem-solving devices and leave the matters in God's hand. As an ambassador of God, which you are, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As an ambassador for Christ, impersonal love for man is the function of that ambassadorship. You are not left here to straighten people out. You are not left here to get even with those whom you dislike. You are left here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you must learn how to use impersonal love. The virtue, love, provision is exactly what God used with you. In John 3:16, the Bible says, God so loved the world. Perfectly righteous God loved you and me on the basis of His character, not ours. He did not require us to love Him in order to be saved. He loved us first. In 1 John 4:19, we now love Him because He first loved us. So this impersonal love I'm talking about requires a subject. That's you. And it requires an object, and that's them. And impersonal love allows you to love that object regardless of their integrity or lack of it. You love them based on your virtue, not theirs. And when you use this problem-solving device of impersonal love, that's when you are actually replicating the life of Christ. Do you remember what He said in Luke 23:34? Hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Does that sound like He loved them? Yes. You cannot use impersonal love if you have unconfessed sin in your life. Let's get that straight. It won't work. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, and hatred, these are all mental attitude sins that quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And when the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's referring to the virtue love assets of personal love for God and impersonal love for mankind. So examine yourself and quit lying to yourself. If you lack the ability to use impersonal love, you are not living the spiritual life. You are carnal. You're out of fellowship. So stop trying to justify your attitude and confess that sin now. Spiritual growth is critical for you if you ever hope to become a mature believer and if you ever hope to replicate the life of Christ. And that means you must make an effort to find a well-qualified pastor and start studying under his ministry every day and quit wasting precious time God gave you. Because playing church is not growing up. 2 Timothy 2:15 said it plainly. Study, study, I say it again, study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be ashamed. Is there time when you're going to be ashamed? Absolutely. The judgment seat of Christ, when all of your good works are burned up, you will be ashamed that you blew a great opportunity to glorify God. You want to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to understand that. That's why we stress getting under the ministry of a great pastor that can help you understand it. Plus H is another problem-solving device. I call it sharing the happiness of God. Listen to me while I read Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, there's the word joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you notice joy was set before him? Does that imply that the horrors of the cross was fun? No, absolutely not. But what it does shed light on is this. It's the victory that our Lord Jesus Christ won on that cross. See, it was there that Satan was defeated once and for all. And the greatest joy you can ever experience in your life is to share in that victory by means of your salvation and your eventual resurrection. There's no greater joy for the believer than to know confidently that you are doing exactly what your Father wants you to do. That's what our Lord did. He didn't want to go to the cross and die like that. He even prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." When you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, there is no greater joy in this life. This leads you to ask a question. How do I discover what he wants me to do? And the clue is what Jesus said in Luke 11:28. Happiness belongs to those who hear the word of God and keep it. Happiness belongs to those who hear the word of God and keep it. Plus H, sharing the happiness of God. Where does it come from? Hearing the word of God and keeping it. You will never experience the joy that our Lord spoke about unless you have an opportunity to listen to the teaching of the Word of God and obey what it tells you. Again, Luke 11:28, happiness belongs to those who hear the Word of God and keep it. The sad truth is this, that unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Actually, they buy things that they can't afford to try and impress people they don't even like, because they think money is a narcotic that will deaden the pain to an empty life. Our Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples in John 15:11 these words, "I told you these things so that my joy may be in you." God's happiness, plus H, sharing the happiness of Christ, can handle any disaster. Plus H never seeks a better environment as a solution to your problems. Plus H, sharing the happiness of God, is true and permanent happiness, in which the mature believer, the one who studied, the one who grew up, the mature believer executed the protocol plan of God and is now a winner and an invisible hero. Happiness is a system of thought in your soul, and that system being the Word of God, not the pleasure of stimulation, but the Word of God. The person with plus H can enjoy pleasure. He can enjoy stimulation, a good game, a good movie, a good whatever, but still remain in a state of humility. The indication of plus H in your life is simply one word. How can you tell if you have this type of happiness? It's called contentment. Hebrews 13:5, let your lifestyle be free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness is a means of great profit when accompanied by contentment. Contentment. That's how you know you're happy. You're content. Whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Doesn't make any difference if I have a lot or I have a little. Paul said, I am content. Are you content? Are you? Are you upset because you don't have certain things? Are you upset because something happened that you didn't agree with? Do you not have contentment? The last problem-solving device that I want to mention to you, which is critical, is occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a manifestation of those 10 problem-solving devices forming the plot line in your soul. Occupation with Christ is simply you being occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is you having personal love for Him. How is that? Because you have an intimate awareness of who He is, what He's done for you, and what He will do for you. This awareness is an appreciation based on understanding of what He offers in time and in eternity. It's not just some emotional feeling that gets you all teary-eyed when you mention His name. It's not an emotional experience at church singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." It's a different appreciation because it's based on what you understand. It's a personal love for God. Listen to 1 Peter 1:8, "And whom having not seen you love," occupation with Christ, "you love, in whom though now you have not seen Him, yet you believe in Him, and you rejoice with joy," there it is, "unspeakable and full of glory." Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, have made a role model out of our Lord, and they are the believers who have true happiness, and they are the believers who are spiritually self-sustaining. This happiness from occupation with Christ and the problem-solving devices on the flight line of your soul is the inexpressible happiness you cannot communicate to other people. They won't understand it. But when you reach the point of occupation with Christ, then you will have the mental attitude and the thinking of our Lord. There are two mandates in regard to being occupied with Christ. Hebrews 12:2, be concentrating on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify, which means to set apart, is more important than anything else. Sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. So God makes a direct positive demand on your will and your volition to be occupied with Christ, which is a mandate to be consistent in the metabolization of the Word of God in your soul. That's why the flight line is essentially critical for you. If you don't understand the flight line, you are not living the Christian life. If you don't apply these principles into your life, you are not living the Christian life. I don't know what you're doing, maybe playing church, getting the good feeling or something, but it's not the Christian life, and it'll show up sooner or later. Oh, I hope you're listening. I hope you'll pay attention. I pray this rings a bell with you so that you would be the person God intended for you to be. Again, if you want to get that book, Christian Problem Solving, where we go over these things, contact us and we'll put your name on the list and send it to you as soon as it's ready. Thank you for listening today. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. So until then, may God bless you richly.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
You'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. We won't bore you. I promise you, we're not going to beg you for any money. We're not going to sell you anything. We're not going to try to manipulate you in any way whatsoever. We just want to give you some information. Hopefully that information will make the plan of God available. You'll be able to understand it, and you can orient and adjust to that plan if you'd like to, because that's my mission, to give you the good news, the greatest news I could ever give you, that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We teach the flot line, F-L-O-T, on this radio show. You've heard me talk about it many times. I hope you have not forgotten what it means. But it means the forward line of troops, flot line, F-L-O-T. And we have 10 unique problem-solving devices on that flot line. These are things my pastor taught me many, many years ago. And these are very critical for you to understand. So we want to get into that today. And let me remind you that we are going to have a new book on this. My staff is working on the book right now. Should be ready by the first month of June, and you can order this book online free. It will be called Christian Problem Solving. We've already got it edited, and we just hadn't got it to the printer yet. Plus, we've got other things in the works, so we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate all your enthusiasm and your calls. You can always contact us at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or if you need to, you can call us 800-831-0718. 800-831-0718. That's Rick Hughes, Evangelistic Ministries, Incorporated. Thank you for listening. Now, I know the information I'm about to give you this morning may be a repeat, But my pastor used to say repetition is essential for growth. He would say it two or three times, like repetition, repetition, repetition. It's essential for growth. You can ask any military recruit how many times he heard forward march, about face, at ease, repetition, repetition, drilled into the mind of the recruit until he could follow commands in his sleep. I think it's time for me to do a little bit of essential repetition with you concerning the flight line in your soul. I think it's very critical you understand what that is. Remember this, you have two lives if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and have indeed been born again. You have a physical life, which we can see, your body. You may be tall, you may be slender, you may be heavy, you may be light, you may be dark-headed, black-headed, white, black, brown, yellow, I don't know what you are, but you have a body. God gave you a body. He made you. You also have a soul inside of you. And when we're talking about the spiritual life, we're talking about the soul. The spiritual life is lived in the mentality of the soul. The soul has mentality, the ability to think, logic, comprehend, reason. The soul has volition, the ability to choose. The soul has a conscience, and even a self-conscious. But in the conscience, this is where all your norms and standards are stored, things that you live by. Your parents taught you when you were a little bitty child, brush your teeth, change your clothes, put on your deodorant. And your conscience reminds you of that daily. This is the way we work inside our soul, our mentality of our soul. Now, listen, Satan's very good at allowing you to play church. And you know why? So you can relieve your guilt complex. Yeah, he doesn't mind you going to church, but at the same time, confusing you as to how the Christian life actually functions. So if, a.k.a. the devil, Satan himself, if he can confuse you so that ritual becomes reality, then you will never, and I say never, and I say never, glorify God to the max. So let me make this extremely clear so you won't forget it and you'll understand it. You will have no spiritual life if you don't understand the flight line. The flight line is an encapsulated picture of your spiritual life. And all 10 of those devices that we talk about, problem-solving devices, make up the essence of your spiritual life. That's what it's about. And let's make it extremely clear. The first one, rebound, R-E-B-O-U-N-D, which is confession of known sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all the wrongdoing. Without rebound, then you would have no filling of the Holy Spirit, which is problem-solving device number two. Rebound solves a problem of sin. And number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit solves the problem of the genetically formed sin nature. But unless you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, then all of your religious ritual is totally meaningless. You hear that? Meaningless. Counts for nothing. Because God is not impressed and he's not glorified by how sincere you are, nor is he impressed with your good deeds. When is the last time you heard a pastor tell his congregation that if they're in attendance with unconfessed sin in their life, they're doing a right thing but in the wrong way? When is the last time your pastor started the service with this challenge? Before we begin our worship service, I want anyone here to take a moment of silent prayer and look at your own life. If there's any sin in your life you haven't dealt with, name it now to God, because what you're doing, you're sitting here with the Holy Spirit quenched in your life, the Holy Spirit grieved in your life, and even though you might be in the right place, you're in the wrong way, and you will get nothing out of this service. When's the last time you heard a pastor tell you that? When's the last time you heard a pastor start the service with a challenge to confess any known sin to God before we enter into worship? It's critical. It's critical. Why? Because your body may be present, but your mind may not be present. The spiritual life is lived in your brain, in your thoughts, in your soul, in the mentality of your soul. And you can show up to church and have on a nice outfit, even a nice Easter outfit, and be millions of miles away from what's being said. Some people nod off. Some people drift off. Some people listen and don't remember. Some people thinking about the chicken in the pot they got to change when they get home and eat lunch. And when you go to church, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get anything out of it that has any lasting value. Why is that important? Because confession of known sin, problem-solving device number one, is the way we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And without the filling of the Holy Spirit, the whole thing, going to church, singing in the choir, going to Sunday school, tithing, is just human good or dead works. It counts for nothing for God. You would not want your pastor to be preaching with unconfessed sin in his life, would you? You wouldn't want him to get up there and try to preach a sermon to you if he's been lying to his spouse, if he's been cheating on his taxes, or been stealing from the kitty. You wouldn't want that, because the Holy Spirit would be quenched and grieved. But why would it be any different for you? It's the same thing. The pastor must be filled with the Holy Spirit to accurately communicate the Word of God. And you must be filled with the Holy Spirit to receive the Word of God that's been communicated and to comprehend it and to comply with it in your life. So if you don't understand rebound, if you don't understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, you are not living the Christian life. I ask people this all the time. Tell me, what's the first thing any new Christian must learn? And it's not how to tithe. It's not how to pray. It's how to rebound. It's how to confess their known sin. Why? Because that's the secret to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you cannot live the Christian life unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about beating a tambourine and singing, "Do, Lord," while you foam at the mouth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit that indwells you at the beginning of your salvation, that seals you, that gives you your spiritual gift, and that fills you so that you can manufacture divine good in your life. It's important you understand that. The sad truth for this is we've substituted ritual of religion for the reality of worship. We do all those right things, but we do them in the wrong way. Rebound and the filling of the Holy Spirit are essential if you hope to advance spiritually, and if you ever hope to glorify God with your life, you must live under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Scripture says about these things done in a wrong way. 1 Corinthians 3:11-16, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." This is a builder metaphor, talking about building a home. "Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, then every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned up, he will suffer loss. But, it's a conditional contrast here, but, wait a minute, he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire." You can't burn up the concrete foundation of the home. What are we talking about? Every dime you ever gave, every church service you ever attended, every prayer you ever uttered will be evaluated. Did you do it under the filling of the Holy Spirit, or was it done under the energy of your flesh? You can do good things in the flesh. You can go to church with sin in your life, and you know Sunday morning's when a lot of it's committed, when you get to arguing with your wife, arguing with the kids, arguing with traffic, trying to get there. Hurry up, gonna be late, let's go, let's go, let's go. And by the time you walk in, you're torqued up and out of shape and out of fellowship. You made a mistake. You didn't even stop to confess your sin of bitterness and anger. And so, what did you do? Well, nothing. You just went through the ritual and there was no reality to it. Living in the energy of the flesh is not rewardable. It's just bonfire fuel. That's all it is. So don't make the mistake of thinking that all your personal sins are going to be revealed in heaven. Just forget about that. There's not going to be a movie theater selling popcorn showing everybody what a sinner you are. All of your personal sins were paid for on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he died for. Well, what exactly will be exposed at the judgment seat of Christ is your human good. Not your sins, your human good. Those things that are dead works and glorified only you and your ego and did not glorify God at all. The filling of the Holy Spirit is how you got to understand this. You cannot live the Christian life without learning to use rebound and staying filled with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Can't do it. And it has to be taught from our pulpits, and it is not being taught from our pulpit today. The next essential doctrine is critical for you to understand. Problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. Why is it critical? Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Okay, so I need to have faith. How do I get faith? How do I grow my faith? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Unless you're sitting under a good pastor that's teaching you the Bible, you're not going to grow your faith at all, because it comes by hearing the word of God. That's why we have the mandate found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not disapproved, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know where you're going to be ashamed? You're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ when the bonfire goes up. Every nickel you gave, every prayer you prayed, every visit you made, you did it in the energy of the flesh, and it was no good. It was human good works and burnt up. How can you know what is right? How can you know what is wrong? As far as God's plan goes for you, if you don't have some sort of spiritual discernment. I mean, this is what keeps you from being impetuous, acting on your emotions. That's why you're mandated to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where the faith comes from. We study, we grow, we develop our faith. Why must I develop faith? Because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. What does that mean? It means that faith is confidence and trust in God's provision. Either he will provide for you or he does not provide for you. But either way, you will never manipulate God. He's not a genie. He's not going to pop out of the bottle and solve your problems. Manipulation is a major issue in organized religion today. You give enough money, God will shine favor on you. If you do this, God will bless you. If you do that, God will bless you. That's a lie. You want to get God's blessing, spiritually grow up, stay filled with the Holy Spirit, learn the Word of God, replicate the life of Christ, begin to think like he thought, and then you can have the plus H we talk about as a problem-solving device number 9. But just because you tithed, just because you got a perfect attendance record, it doesn't mean anything. Congratulations. Good job. Way to go. Were you filled with the Holy Spirit when you did it? Or has anybody ever told you that before? Has anybody ever told you you better be filled with the Holy Spirit before you take communion? Because if you try to take communion out of fellowship with unconfessed sin in your life, the Bible promises you you're going to get disciplined for that. How many times have you taken communion and the pastor never said one word about, before we do this, let's have silent prayer. Let's make sure we get rid of any mental attitude sins, any sins of the tongue, any overt sins. Now's the time to name it to God. Because he said if we would confess it, he'd be faithful and just to forgive us. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is confidence. It's trust in God's provision. He will not be manipulated. So the Christian life requires an exercise in your faith. Our God rebuked his disciples in Matthew 8:26 in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm, calling them men of little faith, or some say short-time trusters. Storm blew up. They were in a boat. They thought they were going to die. The waves were going over the boat, and the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep on the front deck, worn out from what he'd been doing all day long. And they woke him up and they said, "Save us, save us, we're perishing, we're dying, help, help." And he looked at him and said, "You bunch of short-time trusters." He stood up and said, "Be calm." And the ocean got flat as flat as a pancake. And they marveled. They said, "What kind of man is this that can control this? It's the Son of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ." And so he questioned their faith. He called them men of little faith. Let me ask you a question. How is your faith? One of the more than 7,000 promises in the Bible are yours. Here's a fair question to ask you. If there are 7,000 promises in the Bible, How many can you quote? One? Two? Or do you think God's a genie just going to pop out long enough to help you and then go back into the bottle, make your problems go away? You must learn to walk by faith. This is what pleases our Father. Maybe the suffering that you're going through was allowed by God for a reason. Huh? Maybe. Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted so that I might learn your statutes. Like what? Walk by faith, live by faith, study to show yourself approved. Why do you think God puts these things into your life? To break your arrogance and to give some humility to you. You must learn the faith rest drill. How to claim a promise in the middle of a crisis. How to develop a doctrinal rationale for reasons that could have happened. And then form a biblical conclusion. If the Lord's with me, who could be against me? No sweat. I got it. It's in His hands. There's no reason to live afraid. There's no reason to live in doubt. There's no reason to live confused. If you walk by faith. The next problem-solving device that you must understand if you're going to live the Christian life, as I said, these 10 problem-solving devices are the essence of the Christian life, the essence of the spiritual life lived in your soul. The next one is grace orientation. If you don't understand grace, you do not understand the gospel. Ephesians 2:8-9 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." There's the two words right there, grace and faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift from God." What does that mean? It means you cannot earn your way to heaven. There's absolutely nothing you can do that'll buy you a ticket to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ did it all for you, and if you try to add your works to His grace, you simply cancel out the transaction. Like if you say, "Okay, I want to be saved, Lord, so I'm going to ask you to save me. I'm going to tell you that I believe in you for my salvation, but I'm also going to make sure that I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this." See, that's trying to earn your way to heaven. See, if you can earn your way to heaven, you can earn your way out of heaven by not doing certain things, right? "For by grace you're saved." You didn't have anything to do with it. Christ did all the work for you. If you believe in Him and receive Him as your Savior, it's a free gift. And I got news for you. God doesn't take it back. He's not an Indian giver. Learning to live by grace. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. "He has made Him," Christ, "to be sin for us," you and me. "So the one who knew no sin," Christ, "that we," you and me, "that we might be made the righteousness of God by means of Him." Learning to live by grace means we depend on God's provision in times of need. No begging for God to forgive me of my sin. No begging. Just use the grace provision of rebound. Don't look back. No begging for money. If God's in it, He'll pay for it. Do your job, keep your mouth shut, and let the Lord provide your needs. Learn to depend on God's grace for your every need. As per Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." That means don't worry. What you should eat, what you should drink, or for your body, or what you should put on your body. It's not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Look at the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are much more important than a bird. Even in times of extreme hardship, extreme suffering, grace orientation will keep you stable. Listen to this. This is Paul's words when he was in extreme pressure. He was hurting a lot. And he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, "God said to me," this answer in his prayer, "My grace," grace orientation, "my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses." So most gladly, Paul said, "I would rather glory in my infirmities," my weaknesses, my sicknesses, "so that the power of Christ may rest on me." Well, what is the power of Christ? It's His grace provisions. It's what God has graciously provided for you. It's the spiritual life. It's those 10 problem-solving devices. What did he say? Therefore, I take pleasure, he said, in my sicknesses. I take pleasure in the reproaches, in the necessities, in persecution, in distress, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if I'm weak, I'm actually strong. That may sound like it's confusing, but the weaker you are physically, the stronger you should be spiritually. Because you come to realize that it doesn't depend on your strength. It depends on God's grace. Grace provisions. That's living grace. There's saving grace. Saving grace. And even dying grace. Yep, dying grace. What does that mean? It means that death is a matter of the sovereignty of God based upon His omniscience of all the facts. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our Lord, he that is our God, is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongs all the issues from death. Because of his perfect sovereignty, he is able to pick the right time, the right place, and the right conditions for our death. God predestined that in eternity past, so we don't have to worry about it. Because what did Paul say? For me to live is Christ and dying is profit. Philippians 1:21. Our God provides dying grace for the believer, you and me. Amos 5:8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadows of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. The shadow of death into morning. To be absent from the body, to be face to face with the Lord. Dying grace is the greatest blessing in living. It's unbelievable. Now, if you don't understand that doctrine of grace orientation, you cannot execute the faith rest drill, nor can you ever glorify God. That's why I said it's essential you know this. There must be total trust and there must be total dependence on God's grace in everything to give Him maximum credit and maximum glory. Next comes doctrinal orientation, another problem-solving device, and is based on the doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness of your soul. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to separate the soul and the spirit, both the joints and the marrow, and able to evaluate the thoughts and the motivations of the heart. All of those 10 problem-solving devices that we will talk about are built on the Word of God that circulates in your stream of consciousness called your soul life. And the basis for understanding all that information with regard to your spiritual life, it's in the Bible. Bible doctrine will be here long after we're dead because Bible doctrine is always powerful. Even if we're weak, there is no substitute. There is no substitute for Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness and your thoughts. That's the faith rest drill. Understanding, knowing these doctrines, believing and living by them, because the Word of God penetrates into the human soul and the human spirit through the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit. Thus, all believers have equal ability to understand Bible doctrine. The Word of God is able to evaluate your thoughts and your motives, the motives of your stream of consciousness. When you have Bible doctrine in your soul, you evaluate your thoughts and your motivations. Do they come from Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness? If they do, then you can evaluate your own life and develop your own motivation. You can only learn and function with reference to God's will through the knowledge of God's Word. The Word of God is designed to make us effective in the execution of His will, His plan, and His purpose for our life. Doctrinal orientation is the basis of correct understanding of Scripture. Are you hungry to learn the Scripture? Are you motivated to take in the Word of God daily? Because without positive volition towards the intake of the Scripture, you will always be what the Bible calls a lukewarm Christian, and you will never glorify God to the max until His Word becomes the most essential ingredient in your life. You must absolutely do whatever it takes to find that source of daily teaching. It's been a tough lesson. I hope you're listening. I poured it out to you. I hope you'll pay attention and come back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.